Welcome to the Dogs and Deadlifts, Building Better Dogs podcast. If you like a podcast that is raw, unfiltered, and authentic, you have come to the right place. Our goal is to bring clarity around canine fitness and conditioning. We help people ignite their dog's performance and build better dogs. Join your host, Daniel Rose, as we discuss fitness, nutrition, and mindset for dogs. Let's do this. Are you lacking some clarity around dog nutrition, dog fitness, or scent work? You are not alone. Learn how to ignite your dog's physical and mental performance, safe, systematic, and injury-free. Yes, you can improve your dog's physical and mental performance and achieve amazing results following the Dogs and Deadlifts programming. Because this work is not just about you, it's whom you do it with. We understand you want to make sure your coach is the right fit. Get access to certified canine athlete specialist coach and owner of Dogs and Deadlifts, Daniel Rose. And you can figure out how to get the results you're looking for, whether it is your dog's general behavior, athletic performance, or sports scent detection. Book your 30-minute free online discovery call with Daniel today. The link is shown in the notes below.
So welcome back to the Dogs and Deadlifts podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Rose. And today, all the way from the UK, Bristol, in fact, is Steph Dewu. Welcome.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Look, I know it's early morning over there. I've got the luxury of being, evening here in Australia. So thank you very much for getting out of bed early and jumping on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely fine. It's not too early. It's 8. I've had about an hour and a bit.
So I tell you, just on that, a lot of the time, if I'm speaking with people from the US or something like that, I'm up at like 4 or 5 a.m. here in Australia to interview them, obviously the night before. So the things we do for education purposes.
The US would be like, did I already ask this?
Yeah. Oh, I'm like slurping on a coffee. I've had like 3, but they seem to turn out all right. Sometimes I mess up the their names, sometimes I mess things up, but that's how we roll here on the podcast.
Definitely. I end up speaking to some people from internationally and I just get my clocks confused. I'm like, right, 9 hours, 1, 2.
Lucky good old Zoom sort of works it out a little bit for you, hey? Steph, let's, before we sort of move on, what I love to talk about, or, before we get into what we want to talk about today, let's tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, go back as far as you want, where you are today, obviously a little bit about your business, of course, about your dogs, let's give a bit of an origin story and an introduction, hey?
Yeah, so I think most a lot of people on here, was a complete dog lover growing up, but I never had my own dog, which is awful. my granny had a golden retriever, so I think that's where I got my addict for goldens. Hers was actually called Dozy, but was absolutely completely manic. And I don't know why she was called Dozy, but anyway, I loved her. She was great. And then I kind of wanted to work with animals, and then ended up looking at kind of the rehab routes, and I went into human physio first. You can go in the UK straight into animal physio, but at the time the NHS, so our healthcare system, funded human physio degrees, so it was much cheaper. So I went to uni for free. So that's why I basically did it. So I did my undergrad in human, then I moved on and kind of did my master's in vet physio, and it was really cool. So I kind of worked kind of in the hospitals and did a bit of MSK private stuff while doing the animals, and it was all very separate. And I had my dog, who was my first paycheck. Literally, I got paid and I was like, finally, I'll get my dog. So I've got Teddy. He's got his third birthday on Tuesday, tomorrow. He'll be
Ah,
three tomorrow. So he's a
fantastic.
golden retriever.
Yeah.
Love them. So yeah, so very separate. So I always did my humor stuff, really into my strength and conditioning with it, to be honest. But it was people never did the exercises, or like they do them for a week or 2 weeks, and then they come see me and be like, yeah, I've definitely been doing the exercises. You'd be
You're
like,
like,
yeah,
yeah,
okay.
bullshit, you have.
Yeah, so people just didn't do the exercises. And with the animals, so mostly dogs, I do some horses, but to be honest, it's more all dogs now. People do the exercises because people do everything for their dogs, but there was kind of no fun element. It was always very like school, like, yeah, you need to do this, giving people homework. So that was kind of where I've gone very sideways. And I now get people to do strength and conditioning with their dogs all at the same time, because I'm just trying to make it fun, to be honest, because the more fun it is, the more motivated people are. And then now I've got people who actually enjoy exercising who never did before, and I actually do it. So that's kind of my whole ethos, is just making exercise fun, really.
Yeah, awesome. And it's funny because if someone doesn't, and this is, obviously we align quite well, but a lot of people say, what sort of gym is dogs and deadlifts? Like, dude, Earl, sorry, mate, it's not a gym.
You got dogs on the bench press.
Oh, 100%, or is it a dog friendly gym that I can come to?
Imagine. Maybe it's dangerous dropping weights on dogs.
I know, right? Or just have them tied up to the to all the kettlebells, and then all of a sudden they see a wildlife and just go straight for it, attached
Bit of
to.
drag training.
Oh yeah, 100%. We do drag training, but hey, not that
Well, that's the
style.
thing, isn't it? It's, and I think a lot of probably you find this as well. It's kind of educating people. So I also do some kind of physio, like typical appointments, and I'd say about 75% of the people who see me, they're like, the vet sent me. I have no idea who you are or what you do with that. And I'm like, hats off to you. You came, like, but so many people just don't know about dog physio.
And that's something that we want to talk about today, but it's quite funny that so 5 years ago I was in a different city to where I am today, and there was a big pet expo. So it was over 2 days, and 10,000 people through the gates for the pet expo. I was very fortunate enough to run at the time a demonstration in the middle of the stadium.
Wow.
A dog's it was before it was not I wasn't dogs and deadlifts back then. It was Fit with Fido exercise type class. So I'd been training a number of people for over a 12-week program. And they volunteered to come and spend an hour with me and do basically a session, at this expo. From that expo, this is 5 years ago here in Australia, in a city that's, I wouldn't say small, but it's not a big large city like Brisbane or Sydney. It was in Townsville, and we did a two demonstrations throughout the day, in the middle of the stadium, and or the the arena. And I was offering free sessions, follow-ups, if anyone wanted to potentially join, come and join the classes. How many out of that do you think that I had?
It's either going to be like none or like
Not one, not one.
really.
Yep, not one. So
Oh,
they
that
were,
must have been depressing.
oh, to the point where I was down and out, and I did not. It made me reevaluate the direction that I was moving in, for sure.
Oh, that's really. Oh,
But in saying that, here I am, do dogs and
yeah.
deadlifts. Don't worry. The journey's been fantastic, and I'm here today, loving dogs and deadlifts and what we created, what I created. But at the time, 5 years ago, when I seen outdoor boot camp, just human companies, getting, hundreds of people coming along, not one person wanted to at that particular time come and with their dog, and it was heartbreaking.
It's and I think sometimes like it's just educating people, like the disbelief, because I'm like, yeah, like you can do this with your dog, and they're like, sorry. People just don't think about it, and it's, but then once people do get it and they just have a go at it, they're like, oh my goodness, this is like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And it is. Oh. It really, but when else can you like enjoy anything? Like some of my stuff we do, like say you're trying to do a squat and get your dog to stand on like a fit pause, like some wobble cushion.
Yep.
And somebody described it really well to me, one of my clients. They called it, they were like, it's like exercising by stealth. Like, they're like, I don't even realize I'm doing it. And I think like, oh, it wasn't too hard. And then like, they sent me a text like a couple of days later, like, ooh. I woke up because I rolled in the night, Steph, and my stomach woke me up.
That's it. Or my, you know, my glutes are a tad sore. I can't get off the toilet.
But it's the best way because when else, sometimes, I mean, some people, don't get me wrong, some people love the gym. Yeah. Like my husband loves it, but I'm the worst gym partner in the world. I'm so inconsistent because it's just not fun. I can't take Teddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's quite funny, like, you know, we'll talk about, you know, some stuff that you do shortly, but it's sort of, you know, that down moment for me led me to discover Canny Cross. Yeah. So, the act, obviously, you know, still being able to exercise with my dog, just, you know, in a different type of style or event, you know, we competed Canny Cross, you know, we really love it, right? But it sort of sent me on a slightly different path, you know, and, you know, like I said, I wouldn't be here today without that, you know, but, you know, I'm glad, and, you know, and I see a few people popping up here in Australia, obviously around the world, I see it all the time, right? But, you know, I'm glad that we can sit here today and talk about how, you know, how you're combining the two and people are loving it and really jumping on board now, you know? Like I said, 5 years ago here in the city that I tried it, not so much, yeah? But, but hey, let's move on. Let's talk more positive excitement stuff, yeah?
But on that, sometimes I think when you do have a failure, because I think we do, everybody, no matter what you're doing, you end up having a failure, but you need them to succeed because you've just got to view them as an opportunity to kind of, okay, I need to work on this. Or like sometimes a failure can be result in an absolute success. Yeah. Like for you, it would have given you the motivation and I don't know, you've got to where you are now.
That's exactly right. So, you know, a little bit about my story, most of the listeners know, but I, you know, there was just a number of negativities that compounded. Yeah. I'd owned a doggy daycare, dog training, dog grooming center. And, you know, I was getting over that. So therefore, you know, my concepts and my ideas were sort of flowing, and what I enjoyed most, you know, I was burnt out from the business. You know, we were, you know, I was working large hours, constantly just pumping it out, to the point where we sold the business. And I said pretty much, I'll never do dogs ever again.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So at that point in time, I took 1 year, I went into a totally different industry, and I always joke around about it and say, you know, I got my health right. I got my mindset right. I got, you know, seen some business gurus, you know, and that's when sort of Dogs and Deadlifts was born, and you know, that I just come back to it, you know, I just come back to it and change my focus and my thinking a little bit. And, you know, then, yeah, I started, I just changed focus, but I was ready to give up on, you know, dogs completely. I also, the politics and the rubbish that goes with that, a lot of stuff as well, dogs, you know, a lot of dog sports or, you know, I won't get into nitty gritties, but you know, some people can be super negative. And especially if you're thinking outside the scope and what they've done for 20 years is a little bit different to what you do. So they, you know, they start, you know, potentially, you know, bad mouthing or rubbishing you as well. So a lot of things got on top of me, and I was like, nah, let's sell, let's move, let's change industries. But the universe has other ideas, and
you know,
that's exactly right. Yeah, I come back with a purpose and a different direction. It's been a slower journey building Dogs and Deadlifts, but I believe
it's successful. I've heard of you, and I'm in the UK.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but yeah, I'm doing well, and you know, that is the online aspect is, you know, I can reach people in the UK, the US, you know, Europe. You know, Australia is probably, you know, I won't say third or fourth. I think even my listeners in New Zealand, are higher than some of
Wow.
the than Australians. But let's not go on about that
But like
though.
you're saying, so what people have done for like donkey's years, it's what we're saying is it's we're not saying like, oh, this way that we're talking about is the only way. You can do things in many different ways. It's just finding a route that's best for you and your dog.
Yeah,
And
100%.
that is all it is. It's we're not like debunking, oh my goodness, you shouldn't do that.
Of
It's just,
course.
hey, what you prefer, what suits you. And yeah, if this suits you, then it works.
100%. And let's face it, Candy Cross is not for everyone, right? Yeah.
No.
If you've got a crazy a crazy dog that wants to go 100 miles an hour and you can't keep up, there's Candy Cross may not be for you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Like my husband, the thought of running, he was like, "Oh God, Steph, just go straight into bike drawing."
Yeah, that's right. How can you bypass, how can you bypass Candy Cross and the groundwork and go straight to
Exactly.
bike?
So I think once I've trained Teddy up, so we've just started now on Candy Cross. As soon as he's trained up with the bike drawing, he'll be off with my hubby. He will be too tired for me to do anything with us.
100%. That's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. So let's talk about your business a little bit. Especially I suppose let's start with the human element. Yeah, let's start with the human element that that you started with. Obviously you mentioned earlier, people not completing the exercises, things like that. Look, I've got a lot of Candy Crosses that come to me, and some of the first thing that I talk about is, hey, let's ditch the dog, Let's ditch the dog for a couple of runs, because we need to work on your strength, mobility, aerobic capacity as well, right?
I bet they look at you horrified.
Yeah, 100%, right? They're like, whoa, what do you mean, Daniel? I said, mate, everyone's mate to me, right? So, for those of you in the the UK or the USA, mate is friend, I'm like, let's ditch the dog, because we need to get you in shape first, yeah. Otherwise, you're going to do one or two runs with your dog, and you're going to be the letting the team down, right? So,
It's
if
somewhat true.
yeah, 100%, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
tell us about, the rehabilitation stuff and the strength and conditioning stuff that you've done for humans before we get talk about the animals and how you enjoyed that. What were some of the common injuries that you either see or you help work on?
Yeah, so I mean, when I kind of worked in private practice, we'd have like half an hour, and it was like always. It's one thing that's been really nice from working for myself. I give myself an hour, and it's so nice. I can just spend time. When I have half an hour, I was like, right, what's this? What's this? And we'd zoom through it. But I've done a lot of. So the company that I worked for, they did a lot of insurance stuff. So a heck of a lot of whiplash. I'm good at the neck now. But on top of that, it was a lot of kind of like ACL. So people who've been skiing, then had someone completely snap their knee from the back. A lot of that. And generally, kind of just a lot of the niggly stuff. So people who generally do sport and are like, oh, this doesn't work as well. Or good old frozen shoulder, seen a lot of that. And if anyone doesn't know about it, your shoulder just suddenly stops working. Yeah, so they're. Probably whiplash, shoulder, ACL, and general muscle imbalance, niggles. They're the main kind of human side that I saw. Nowadays, I don't see as much. I do some rehab of kind of like I've got a knee ache or more the niggles, I'd say now. But it's great that people come to sort out their niggles because if you leave niggles, sorry, people might not actually know what it is. Like a bit of pain or just discomfort. And if you leave pain and discomfort and just carry on with what you're doing, it's probably going to develop into something more. So if you do have something that's kind of in the background, maybe have it looked at so it doesn't develop into anything.
And that's funny actually. Right now, I'm transitioning to barefoot runners, you know, or barefoot.
Ooh.
Yeah, so super interesting, right? I love crazy shit. So, you know, breath work, you know, nasal breathing, to build, you know, to build your capacity. And I'm looking at, you know, obviously, your Vivo type barefoot shoes, and so transitioning to that, interesting around feet and the connection we have with the feet, toes, all this sort of stuff. So real weird stuff, but
That's quite cool.
you know, but from a physio point of view, you'll understand what I'm talking about, right? So,
Yeah.
right now, you know, I ran 8 kilometers this morning, super slow pace. It was pretty much part of my transition to my, you know, my barefoot shoes. My knee and my knee is my left knee tonight is really sore, right? You know, however, you know, I'm obviously I didn't take video of myself running, but you know, why? You know, I'm gonna start racking my brain. Why is it sore? Did I go a little bit too far for my transition at this point in time? You know, so have I dropped from, you know, let's just say a runner that has a five, to nothing too quick, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
these, you know, and that's quite possible. You know, sometimes I rush these things, you know. Whereas I was watching a documentary on you, was a documentary, just an information on YouTube, and they're saying that transitioning to over 6 months to a barefoot shoe can strengthen your feet up to 60%.
Wow,
Yeah,
that's cool.
and obviously there's a number of you know, I suppose number of things around a barefoot shoe, you know, a wider toe box, flexibility, you know, I've even looked at to buy some toe spreaders and things like that, you know, because plantar fasciitis is, you know, is very common, right?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of
You know, so my answer to that is like, all right, I'm not going to go buy the latest Nikes or Asics or you know, whatever they may be. I'm going to go the other way and try and strengthen my feet, my toes, and go towards the barefoot type shoes.
That's really interesting.
Yeah,
It's
for sure.
yeah. It's cool when you take different lessons, don't you? When you spend so much time in kind of the rehab area, like I was saying, I did a lot of knees from ACL from skiers. So when we went to a snow holiday, I was like, I'm snowboarding. That was my lesson. I'm not
100%.
skiing. I would rather. So the injury of skiing is basically bugger up your knee for a long time. For snowboarding, you break your wrist 6 weeks in cast. So I was like, much shorter. I'll snowboard.
100%. You know, I kicked around, so not too many agility sort of handlers and dog people. They don't Then my podcast is not designed for them, right? You know, so even though it's a podcast for about human fitness, you know, animal fitness and conditioning, etc., I don't have too many agility people listen, and I'll be totally honest about that, you know. But you know, a number of years ago, I thought about developing a strength and conditioning product, online product, to make sure that agility dog handlers don't do an ACL, right? You know.
Yeah, they do a lot of tight corners and tight turns.
100%, right? So, you know, I was, and I had it all mapped out, but I was like, nah.
Well, I still speak to agility people, and they will get there. Nothing wrong with agility people. So
No.
I've got some agility people who are completely on it, but some turn up, get their dog out the back, them and their dog just suddenly run round, and then they get back in the car, and you're just like, oh no,
Yeah,
please.
100%, right? And we're going to move on to dogs shortly, right? But hey, how about some dynamic warm-ups, you know, like let's get
Yeah.
you and your dog prepped. And that's, you know, I did a free webinar only just last week, a week before, I can't remember. And I said to them, look, if you take one thing away from this webinar, you know, you're giving me 45 minutes of your time, and I appreciate that, right? If you take one thing away, warm up your dog. Yeah, just warm it up before activity. And that includes going to the off-leash dog area and throwing the ball. I don't care what it is, what you're doing, right? I'm not
Something.
100%. I'm not a huge advocate for ball throwing, but you know,
Better
whatever,
than nothing.
I agree. Whatever you do, spend a few moments warming up the dog. If you want to do some, you know, some figure eights, you know, some lunging type exercises, whatever that may be, right? Just spend, please spend 5 or 10 minutes warming up the dog. And then on the flip side, when your dog is completely, you know, done, and you've warm them down, you know, don't put them straight in the crate. You know, rub them down, give them some basic, warm down before you throw them in the crate or the car and drive home, you know. So, you know, and I'll say it again because it never hurts to preach, right?
Exactly. You know, honestly, it's what I always chat about. Warm up, cool down.
Oh, you know, we can talk, you know, just an hour alone just on warm up and cool down. But, you know, like I said, if you take one thing away from our conversation today, guys, please take the time, warm up your dog, cool down your dog. If you want to know specifics, obviously you can reach out to Steph or myself, you know. No doubt we would be happy to help in regards to some education around that, you know.
I've actually got a free PDF if anyone's interested about warming up.
Boom. There you go. Right. Hey? 100%, right? So if you don't mind, I'm happy to link it in the show notes, you know, if you want to flick me the link. Yeah, there you go, guys. So we're just telling you, Steph's got a free download, Sweet Happy Days. Please spend the time, warm up and cool down your dog.
Yeah, and I think another big thing which I end up telling people is what kind of makes them get it is people like love their dog so much and everybody does everything for their dog and themselves, they're completely at the bottom of the pile. They forget about themselves, but If like our canny crossers or any of us really, if you injure yourself, you can't go for a run. Your dog isn't going to go and do canny crossing by itself. So you need to also care for yourself because if you don't, then your dog's going to also miss out. So if you can't find the motivation selfishly, then think of your dog.
100%. And you know, I always joke around, and please take this as a joke, you know, we spend we spend so much time and effort. I can tell you exactly how much, you know, protein, fats, carbs go into my dog's meal, right? I can tell you how much I have as well, but you know, on average, you know, some of my teams, you know, both human and dog teams, when they first come to me, they got no idea in regards to their nutrition. They'll grab a McDonald's burger on the way home while the dog, you know, has everything divided out. It's got his supplements, he's got everything, right? But you know, we're grabbing a Macca's quarter pounder, you know, or cheeseburger and a Coke on the way home, you know.
It's so true. It literally is.
Yeah. You know, we've just been from a big, and I used to do this all the time, right? So the go-to was KFC or Macca's, right? And it was just a greasy chicken, you know, get stuck into it after you'd done a 2-day event. The reward for you on the way home, you know, or the person was KFC, right? Or like I said, or let's just stop at McDonald's where, you know, we're so focused on the dog getting his proteins, fats, carbs, supplements, you know. And hey, I'm all about nutrition. You know, if you know me and you've been listening to me for a while, it all starts with nutrition. I'm a big, you know, big believer in that. But sometimes we don't take care of ourselves. It's, you know, we focus so much on our dogs. Yeah.
And I think also, like, if you think about it, when you're brought up, the treat for everything has always been food. Mm. Like birthday, you get a birthday cake. Mm. If you don't go, then you can have pudding. Mm. It's ingrained in your childhood, like, ooh, chocolate. Mm. And I'm a sucker for it now. Mm. I literally can't walk through a chocolate aisle. I'm like, I'll just buy that chocolate bar.
That's exactly right. You know, and you know, the dog, I suppose the dog has a luxury that we control everything, right? You know, sometimes you know, our willpower is not as strong as it can be. So therefore, you know, having, you know, this is a perfect segue into what you're going to talk about, having a group or accountability, someone to make you accountable is a big tick, tick, tick.
And I need, like, especially if you're doing exercise, just to kick up the backside, because sometimes I'm a bit tired today, it's raining, I don't feel like doing that. And then you don't. But if you're in a group, so I've done, when I was at uni, I competed for the uni in, like, rowing and that. Mm-hmm. And it was great, because in terms of me going to the gym myself, I'm not very good at it. I'm really not motivated. But as soon as I've, like, got a group, we went to the gym like 9 times a week. Mm-hmm. And it was only because I was sitting next to other people. I had the coach shouting in my ear. Yeah. And that is just how I run. But I know not everybody loves that. But just having someone not always shouting down your ear, just Oh, you're doing it? Are you checking in? How's it going? You're like, oh God, they're going to ask me how I'm getting on. I need to do it.
100%. And I believe that everyone needs a mentor or a coach, to help you along in some way, shape, or form. We all have different strengths and weaknesses, and having someone there for me is about accountability. I can write plans for days, right? Whether it be strength and conditioning plans for me or the human or the dog, but yeah, just that accountability, is what people need. So, that, like I said, that leads to your classes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So everything that I kind of do, so I'm mostly online at the moment, but I did start kind of face to face. So I started with strength and conditioning classes, PFA, person and dog at the same time, the exercise together, and we do it to music because it's fun. Basically do an exercise per song, and if I'm feeling mean, I'll put on like a 5 minute ABBA song.
I was going to say, well, I'm a huge country fan. Nothing beats a bit of Garth Brooks or, Dolly Parton.
Exactly. But yeah, so they're just so different, and it's some people who kind of come to the classes, they're not exercise people, and they're generally people who know we need to exercise but just want to find some fun. And so we kind of a big thing that we work on in it is obviously it's the fitness and that, but a lot of it is distraction and gaining our dog's focus. And I've used it a lot with Teddy, my dog. This is how it kind of came about. Teddy is like a busy mind, where as soon as we're outside, he's like, ooh, looking at everything. So what I teach people to do is, and in the online one, to be honest, is we do these exercises, start them kind of in the lounge, then we go to the garden, and then we start bringing them out and about, like outside in a dog park or in a class with other people. And yes, it helps your fitness and that, but also in terms of the relationship, just gaining your dog's focus over distractions is massive, and that's like a huge element. So yeah, it's not just exercising with your dog isn't just about getting fit together. It's about actually you're doing a lot for your relationship and listening. And one day you might need that focus if your dog's chasing a squirrel or something. If you can do something to snap them out of it might stop them running across a road.
Yeah, for sure. And any form of exercise for yourself or your dog is going to, we're going to increase the longevity of your life. Yeah. So full stop, whether it be, heart disease, cancers, whatever that may be, right? So we're going to reduce the likelihood that they may pop up in your life or your dog's life. Yeah.
I this is I sound like a right nerd. I went to the European College of Sports Science in Seville the other week. It was really cool. And there was one study, and I don't know, it's really shone out to me. When you're if you exercise more, like in your 50s and that, then just by doing that, they have the evidence now that it really reduces like dementia by it was something like up to 50%. And I don't know, I was sitting there and I was like, wow, if more people knew this, like, because dementia is something that freaks everyone out, to be honest. It's not a nice one, but just by doing exercise, you can reduce your risk by like 50%. That's nuts.
I agree, yeah. And it doesn't have to be, from my point of view, deadlifting 200 kilos in your 50s, right?
No.
I've got friends, and a lot of my clients are, they love iron, they love lifting, that's my guys, right? Both male and female, they love that. But that's not for everyone. We're talking about just movement practices, where you just have fun, as you mentioned,
Just go for a walk.
yeah.
Literally, as simple as that. I mean, that you can obviously do much more than that, but any movement is better than no movement.
Look, I agree, and obviously, yeah, like you said, we're gonna make sure you enjoy it though.
Exactly.
There's no point, if you're going, hey, this sounds cool, there's no point, doing a CrossFit class when you're like, oh, that was I got killed today, my heart rate through the roof, I thought I was gonna have a heart attack, when you could be zooming in to one of your classes with your puppy and having a great old time in your lounge room,
Exactly, and it's exactly. It's so you've just got to have fun and whatever, find something that you enjoy, and it just and you Just do fun stuff, honestly. And it's like, Netflix is so basically, people completely disagree with me on this. So when we used to have adverts, it was good because it made people move. Then we have Netflix and there's no adverts, so people just sit sedentary for like hours at a time. And now there's you have to pay more soon, don't you? Otherwise, you have Netflix, you have adverts again. And
For
I
sure.
said to my husband, I was like, "Oh wow, this is good. This will get people like moving." The look, if looks could kill. He was like, "No, we don't want adverts." But I think
Oh, yeah.
it'll get people moving. Just walking to the kitchen and back.
Oh, 100%. I touched on it briefly as well. I'm a huge fan and believer in nasal breathing and how it can the effects are huge, and how we've over the years the shape of our face, our teeth, our palate, everything's changed because we breathe, primarily through our mouths, our sleeping has changed. Oh, there's a huge so I did this experiment, right? And I was pretty average for a few days. I taped my mouth when I went to sleep, because I was reading this book and it said they'd done this study, right? And I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll give that a go. And I felt, the first few days were terrible. Like I said, I take things to the extreme, right?
My God, I think sometimes if you had a cold, you'd literally like die.
Oh, I tell you, like, yeah, probably. But then I discovered like Wim Hof, and his breathing techniques and the studies that are done around Wim Hof and cold, particularly breathing techniques, but also how he hikes up mountains, snowy mountains, in a pair of shorts and shoes, crazy stuff, the benefits of cold water immersion and stuff like that. Like I said, I don't do this and program it for most of my clients, but I just take things to the
If
extreme.
they want
That's exactly right. Come see me, all right? I test everything first, I swear it. Yeah, you're like, you'll be safe.
I love that.
But I've lost got off way off
Sorry,
track now, but
Brit, you taped up your the desk
yeah,
nasal breathing.
that's exactly right. So, but what I was going to say is just, once again, flipping back, find something that you enjoy and stick with it. Yeah, if like I said, I love deadlifting. My guys swing kettlebells. We love sort of that type of training. And that sort of it goes hand in hand with dogs and deadlifts, right? If I was, go back 5 years and I was called Fit with Fido, it's a totally different, it was a totally different crowd and different person that was coming to me for a type of training. So I had to make a decision, and I did, that dogs and deadlifts was genuinely me, what I love, what I believe in, right? If you want something else, I'll say, I'm sorry, this is what we do. Go see Steph, go see, Jimmy down the road, yeah, because I can do what you're asking me to do, or to help you with, but I don't want to.
That's the thing, you've got to find your like niche, and they say that you're your own perfect avatar. And when you actually start recruiting people, like I love it. So I have the people in my boot camp now, they're from all over and they're just like me. I'm like, wow, if we went out to eat, we'd be so best friends. This is great.
That's
So
it.
it's you literally just find people like yourself, and there are loads of people like you in the world. You think you're like absolutely crackers, but there's more of me. It's brilliant.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose that's, and this is what I want to touch on as well. Over the last couple of years, we've had a crazy world, right? With especially with COVID. So, as you mentioned, a lot of your stuff is primarily online now. A lot of your consults are face to face have potentially dropped off. And obviously there's a number of reasons why that's happened. But I contribute COVID to a lot of that stuff. But hey, how good is it to be able to do work from home these days? And help people all around the world rather than just Mary and John down at your local park.
Exactly. Like there's a lady, she won't mind me saying this, there's a lady in my boot camp. She lives in Alaska and she joined because, so I'm from the UK, this is very not what happens in the UK. She joined because there's a grizzly bear in the village and she couldn't take the dogs out for a walk and she needed stuff to do at home. And like for me, I was like, oh my goodness, this is mad. We have like foxes. Like very different, and it's just completely mad. But I think it's good because people I think COVID obviously was terrible, but we've I think it's made the world very accessible. A lot more people trust online. We've realized how online is just accessible anywhere. So like the program I do is all on an app on your phone, and I'm like, you take your dog and your app everywhere, your phone. So and that's much more accessible than, oh, I have to drag myself to the gym or I have to do this. It's, yeah, accessibility.
You might have some Aussies joining because we have kangaroos and koalas. So after this podcast, if anyone reaches out and they say, "I want to join your class because a kangaroo chased me down the
Please say that. I got kicked by her.
road."
Yeah, I love it. I love hearing about all the random stuff. It's amazing. I'm yet to see a grizzly in the UK.
For sure. But
Especially in the wild.
that's exactly right. But hey, we get it, right? People find you and they come to you and you just don't know where, right? It's all from unusual places. But once you know, right?
Yeah, and you end up solving problems that you didn't even know about, and not just for like our types of businesses, but for anything. You end up meeting people in everywhere, and you're like, what you've got is actually, you don't even realize you need it until you hear about it, and you're like, oh my goodness, I need that.
For sure, 100%. Hey, I wanted to do, while it just pops into my brain, I wanted to just do a jump over for a minute and talk about dogs and a little bit of serious stuff for a minute, you know?
Okay,
You're right,
serious
serious.
face on.
So I wanted to talk about TPLOs, your experience. I'll tell some stories about some crazy shit that I'm still hearing here in Australia. Just the process, for me it's common. We're seeing it all the time, right? I don't know statistics exactly, but it's a common injury amongst dogs. I've talked previously about psoas injuries, and they're really hard for certain people to identify. We're talking about dogs now, guys, not humans, okay? Let's talk about, that, the surgery, and how long potentially, rehabilitation can take before before your dog's back to, at their best. But also, I know it's going to vary from dog to dog, but I'm just so overhearing, crate your dog for 6 to 8 weeks and they'll be fine. It's bullshit.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch that in the UK, I don't think.
No, 100%, right? I just get so frustrated a bit around that here, and vets that have that opinion. Don't get me wrong, the vets, I'm not, I'm far from as educated as a vet, right? And I'm not an
Yeah, me
animal.
too. Not a
Yeah, for sure,
vet.
right? So let's just make that very clear. But we need to educate people that there are ways to get your dog back to, to full health. Using balance, strength, flexibility techniques. The other thing is, without having to go out and buy your Fit Paws equipment and spend hundreds of dollars, because just jumping back, because I guess that, presuming that if someone signs up to your class, you don't go, here, you must have a Fit Paws peanut, you must have a pods, you must have this, and this all in your house to be able to complete my class, right?
Yeah.
It's certainly not necessary. There's ways to do things without buying a lot of equipment. But anyway,
Yeah.
let's like I said, it's just a bugbear of mine. So, let's talk about that type of surgery and how your experience with that.
So I've only rehabbed like a small handful of TPLOs, but I'd say like the first, it's really good when you have an amazing vet on board. I love it when you have an amazing vet on board. So like the first couple weeks are generally just kind of, well, obviously it depends on each dog. Depends, yeah. But for the first couple weeks, it's generally kind of just really gentle stuff, like keeping that range of movement, really restricting the movement, and quite often that is very, so in the UK, the first bit after the op is very heavily kind of outlined by the vet, and then as you get further on, then they kind of l lean more on the physio. Okay, what do you think? So the first 2 weeks probably very chill, very vet reliant. Then kind of 3 and 4, we get to more kind of like we might do some really short kind of controlled like lead walks, weight shifting, that type of stuff. So kind of hands on the hips, slowly moving weight from side to side, and just encouraging that kind of, there's just the leg to take weight. And then once kind of they develop, then you can move on to kind of, I don't know, can they do a sit to stand? Can we, and you can make sit to stands not as difficult. So you can have them like perch on a step and they just stand up from a step, stuff like that. And then you just take it as kind of the dog progresses and then kind of adding circles, different stretches. And then you progress it all. Maybe it's like coming out like, I don't know, 10 to 12 weeks after, then you're getting them. Are they okay to go off lead? And not saying don't let your dog just run with other dogs, but maybe like scatter food. Like, can they just potter around themselves without going completely mad? And it's kind of assessing it and developing it for that dog. Yeah, and just what they're struggling with, really.
100%, and obviously that's going to be based. You know, the process is going to be obviously breed specific. Breed specific is going to be taking a huge, You know, a huge factor. You know, but you know, I think I mentioned earlier before we started recording. You know, I had a meeting with a local physio, and she's going to start sending me some clients after our meeting. But you know, she was talking about, you know, like I've got a slap meal, I've got you know, drag work. So as they're coming close to the end of their fit, you know, their 12 weeks, because she's so busy, you know, she wants to, you know, send them over to me to continue their journey, you know. So yeah, exactly. So we're going to work you know, closely together, because I have, you know, I have everything I need at home. You know, I don't you know, I don't get into the rehabilitation side of things. Most of my clients are athletes or you know, healthy population, you know, rather than rehabilitation. But you know, we're going to work closely together and under her guidance. So you know, out there, you know, obviously we've got our vet, our physio, and then you know, for me, in my certifications, specializing in being able to transition to them to back to 100% around that sort of 12 week mark, you know. But like you said, that'll be dogs and breed specific, you know. But you know, and that's what I'm, you know, I'm really looking forward to as well. But you know, the days of just crate rest the dog for 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks is killing me, right?
Yeah, and also, even if they do the rehab, generally people do the rehab up to like 12 weeks ish. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh yeah, you're fit and ready to go.
Yeah, where's me?
And you're like, well, you do need, people need the gap to be filled between the 12 weeks and life. Because if you think of like a person, if a person never went to a gym or never really did anything much, just lived. And then suddenly you expected them to do some crazy bit of exercise, because we do expect our dogs to do quite a lot, then you know that there's going to be injuries and they're just not going to manage it. Whereas with our dogs, sometimes we forget. We just expect them to be like a little super dog, and they are super dogs, but need a bit of support.
And their pain tolerance is through the roof generally, right? You know, like I said, I've gone for an 8K run. I've got a little niggle in my knee, right? And I'm telling you about it. And whoever listens to this podcast, you know, be like, oh, you know, you're soft as butter, mate. You know, I'm telling you about it, right? You know, how good are our dogs are hiding pain, you know?
Their pain tolerance is so high, and often, especially with kind of, I mean, all dogs, but I've heard of it a lot with their kind of like our retrievers. Sometimes they end up having cancer, and they don't tell us because they push themselves until they physically can't push themselves anymore, and then you end up finding out too late because you like, you are so unconditionally loving that you just push yourself through it, and it's sad. Yeah. It's like, oh God. So this is where it's like, really get to know your dog's normal. And as soon as you recognize a difference, be like, okay, what do I need to do?
100%. And understanding your dog, in my lectures and my education, I talk about understanding your dog, right? So I've also adapted a Borg scale to dogs, right? You know, so the rate of perceived exertion, I've dialed it down a lot, you know. But also, you know, understanding your training days and understanding where you sit. What is a 1 to 3, you know, a 4 to 7, and a 7 to 10? That's my modified Borg scale, right? Light, medium, heavy, you know, their activity days, you know, super basic, but super easy to understand, right? So, you know, I'm not going to sit here here and talk about, you know, the research about Borg scale of rate of perceived exertion, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to get into that, right? We do that at uni. But, you know, I've adapted this Borg scale, you know, very, very simple, so people can understand their rate of perceived exertion for their dog. Yeah.
I like that. That's really good.
Yeah, it's cool. And I'm happy to send you the graphic. I've got it.
I'd love that.
I use it all the time, right? But also that goes hand in hand with what gait are they using? Yeah. What gait are they in at that particular time that marries up with the energy system and the rate of perceived exertion? So, you know, like there's not people out there talking about this stuff, right?
No.
And it gets me excited.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Yeah. And it should. It's cool. It's. Mm. I mean, I was like, oh wow, you've made what?
Yeah, for sure, right? And it comes just down to education. Educating people. You know, I'll give you an example, right? So, I had a client that purchased a dog weight vest, right? He used a weight vest. He loaded it up, the vest up with as much weight as he could, right? I don't know what that was. So then he started, throwing the ball up a hill. So the dog was doing weighted hill sprints, yeah? Right. To the point where towards the end of the session, the dog tongue out, almost passed out.
So knackered.
Yeah, almost passed out, right? Now, I could have throttled him, you know what I mean? I could have, but he didn't know. He didn't know
People don't know.
He didn't know that was way too much. He'd gone from 0 to 100 and could have killed his bloody dog, you know? Like, dude, you could have killed your dog, you know? What was the temperatures? What was the humidity? Like, what are these external contributing factors, right? But he didn't know. His dog. So I work a lot with bull breeds, and then working Malinois, German Shepherds, Rottweilers, Dobermans, you know, some of the working type dogs. So that's where I said, dogs like Border Collies and things like that. Not that I don't work with them. From the agility type people, they're not part of my pool. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, you're talking bully breeds, Malinois, those sort of higher pain threshold dogs, you like, more than your average. And, but he just didn't know. And I'm like, okay, if you want to use the weighted vest, that's fine. You know, there's pros and cons, arguments, blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get into that, right? But if you want to use that, how about I write you a structured program? You know, and we do it over 8 to 12 weeks. This is what you do. Yeah. We need recovery days. We need, and they're your 1 to 3 on your Borg scale. We need moderate days. We need, the red days are the maximum effort on my Borg scale, modified Borg scale. Sorry. We have a week, and then he wanted to do, he wanted to do obedience, he wanted to do protection, overtraining syndrome, look out, do you know what I mean? Like,
and people just don't realize that's how you end up with injury, and that's how people are like, oh no, I really want to do loads for my dog, and then they do too much, and actually you end up doing nothing because then you're back beyond square zero, because then you've got to do rehab.
Yeah, and that's injury 6 months. You know, psoas. You know, we blow out a knee, we do a shoulder, whatever. You know, that's where we're out of the sport for anywhere from 12 weeks to 6 months, right?
Exactly, and then you got to build yourself back up to even get to where you were before.
That's exactly right.
But people just don't know. People don't know.
So that's why I love my podcast, right? Because I love my podcast, because we can sit here and talk about this stuff. And if someone goes, bing, I'm going to go over to Steph's website and download her warming up and cooling down exercises. Sweet as, right?
Exactly. It's really simple things, which to us seem like really simple, but that's because, like, I mean, I lecture at uni, you've done all your qualifications. We just live and breathe it. If you don't live and breathe it, then it's okay to not know. But once you know, do something about it.
Yeah, please. And the other thing is as well, find people that you align with, but also do your research on them, do your research and make sure that, they're qualified. They can give you advice. You know, what I'm seeing a lot of lately, especially around nutrition, is a lot of things pop up around nutrition I wouldn't say, there's a lot of people out there that, within an unregulated industry, qualification wise, people can get a little bit of misinformation. Let's just say that, right? Do your research, and if you like the sound of what they're saying, like, I'm happy for people to ask me a million questions. I do a 30 minute free discovery call. If you want to work with me, we'll work together. If it's 30 minutes, you jump on Zoom call with me and I'll answer your questions, right? Whether you continue to work with me or not, however, I ask you for a 6 month commitment, right? So, so part of that is, putting out podcasts, putting out blogs, putting out videos, doing a heap of stuff that, that people can know, yeah, Daniel does know his shit. I've got a Malinois or I've got a bully breed, that sits well with what he likes to do, but let's jump on a call and have a chat, So I believe that, all good people that come from a place of authenticity and integrity will do that for you, So, I had someone recently want to charge an hourly consult rate for, and I get that what some people, they're busy, they're time poor, but, for me, I send people messages and say, hey, you want to chat on the podcast? Because it could be beneficial for me. You're going to come on my podcast, but also for you as well, right? If you can allocate an hour, up to an hour of your time, fantastic, win-win for everyone, right? I don't pay any guests, so if you want to be paid, I'm sorry, dude, not part of the contract.
Yeah, exactly.
because I think, relationships should be built, and, people, shouldn't necessarily go, what's in it for me? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's about, like, I run my free Facebook group just so people, because not everybody can afford to have like input, but doesn't mean that they shouldn't be like, no, like, goodness, you need to warm up your dog. Here's some ideas how. Here's some ideas for what to do. Then everybody can get that. And also the people who are kind of on the fence, then they're like, oh, they get to know you a bit, don't they?
And 100%. Yeah. And if they, if they put, they're driving to work and they can listen to you and I talk a bit of banter for, up to an hour. Fantastic. Right. It's better than, all the sales rubbish that you see online on a website that, can be misleading. Right. They've got, cause I got friends in the dog training industry that spent a lot of money on, great copywriters that, sell. Let's just say that sometimes, the product is, not as good as what the sales page says,
Yeah. And testimonials, I think, are great. If you can get, like, actually listen to people who've been in it, that's the best way to do it.
100%. That's why I like to interview the odd client as well here, on the podcast. And, if you scroll back through the podcast, you'll hear some clients talk to me as well. But, I like to get people from all over the world to chat and, tell me about their experiences, what they're doing, and, how they're benefiting people and also, dogs around the world, yeah?
Definitely. It's nice. It's cool.
Cool. All right. On that note, let's probably wrap it up. Hey, I've loved the chat. We've talked for a little while, but, where can people, obviously we mentioned earlier about the free download about warming up. I mentioned that a few times for you. We'll put the link in the show notes, but, where can people go and, suss you out, on your socials and website?
Yeah, so I'll send you a link for my free Facebook group, and then once you join it, I've got a few different free bits, so then I can ask you a couple of questions and we can work out, this might be more than the warm-up that might be beneficial for people. So I'll send you the link for the free group. But in terms of my social media, if you literally just Google, like, at vet VET Fizz PHYS Pro PRO, so Vet Fizz Pro, Instagram, Facebook, you'll find me. It's easy as that.
Awesome. So guys, let's, I want to say thank you very much as I did earlier, for Steph, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Been a great fun chat. Hopefully, we've talked and discussed some subjects that get you really thinking about, stuff with yourself or your dogs. Please, if you've got any questions for Steph or myself, reach out to us. We're very open and we're keen to help you. The other thing is I'd like to mention that, if you do like this, guys, like the conversation, like how things go, please jump on my social medias, Dogs and Deadlifts, share. We're on all Spotify, Apple, you'll find us all over the place. Please share it, tell your friends. I've got some really exciting things happening over the next couple of months and in the new year, with some online membership courses and things like that. So super excited about that. Let's wrap it up. Steph, thank you very much once again for coming on the show, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for you or a friend that loves dogs and fitness? Dogs and Deadlifts has you covered with merchandise and giftware, including t-shirts, hoodies, cushion covers, mugs, plus much more. Head over to teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. That's teespring.com/dogsanddeadlifts. Or check out the link in the podcast notes.